Welcome to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, ready to run down the top news stories from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin will share his Indiana farm forecast in just a few minutes. Looks like more warm and humid air will dominate the weekend. Andy Eubank has grain market analysis coming up as well after a wild USDA report week. Andy, C.J. Miller, and newcomer Greg Allen will help me deliver the news this weekend as we discuss what's happening in the Beltway, like trade deals, ag labor conversations, and the EPA rolling back some regulations. We'll also share the stories from award winners that received their honors during this year's Indiana State Fair that wraps up on Sunday. Let's begin by talking a bit about that USDA report on Tuesday that shook the market and surprised nearly everyone. A 2-million-acre swing from soybeans to corn was the primary catalyst for the surprise, and I'm sure Andy will have more on that when we tackle the markets in just a few. But also surprising were some of the yield numbers. In Indiana, USDA is projecting a record statewide average for both corn and soybeans, with corn pegged at 205 bushels per acre.
I honestly have no idea where that number came from.
That's Purdue Extension's Dan Corn Quinn on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast from Hoosier Ag Today. He says there must be some Garden of Eden out there with 400 bushel corn that he hasn't seen yet.
There's some good corn out there. You know, you look at the western, kind of west central part of the state is where it's pretty strong. But, you know, just in comparison of the last few years, this crop is just not on par with the last few years.
Soybean Sean Castile was equally shocked to see soybeans projected at 62 bushels per acre. To get there, here's what needs to happen.
You order up that timely rain, nice sunshine. We're not going to have the clouds, so we maximize photosynthetic capacity. You have the water then to work through all of that in terms of transpiration, all those plant physiological things, and have good seed fill, right? We're right at R5 with a lot of the crops, so that's beginning seed, seed fill, and this is that linear phase, and so we can put on the most bushels during this period. And, you know, in a really advanced crop in terms of yield management, water supply, sunlight, temperature, all those things, we can put upwards of 4 bushels per acre per day, right? And so if we've got all that clicking, we can really add a lot to it.
So we need it to be perfect.
That's it.
Okay.
That's all.
It's an easy request.
Hear more from Quinn, Castile, and Michael Langemeyer, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, who joins us to discuss the economic impact of the August USDA reports in the latest Purdue Crop Chat. Listen wherever you find your favorite podcasts and watch the video version at HoosierAgToday.com or on our Facebook page. On Tuesday this past week, I was in Newcastle for Keystone Cooperative's first ever Co-op Classic. It was a fantastic event, and it just so happens they're holding another one on Tuesday, the 19th, in Valparaiso. C.J. Miller has a preview.
Co-op Classic is really an event that Keystone has put together to help bring as much information as we can to our farmer members.
And that's Amy Kinsler, Chief Experience Officer with Keystone Cooperative, who invites you to their special free event at their Malden facility. It's just south of Valparaiso on State Road 49 in Porter County.
This facility is a full-scale agronomy and grain facility, so attendees will be able to really, truly see the state-of-the-art facility there at the Malden branch.
She says the Co-op Classic event on the 19th will feature several special guests.
We'll have Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson from RFETV. He will be there, as well as Chuck Connor, who is going to be speaking to us about policies and, you know, where we think ag policy is headed here into the future. I know that weighs heavy on a lot of our farmer members.
She adds they'll have over 15 breakout sessions on agronomy, energy, innovation, and many more topics to help you and your farm operation.
Whether it is marketing, whether it is around succession planning, policies and government regulations, and even we've got some folks coming in that are just sharing input on what they do at their farms and how they really can help drive their business forward.
For more information and to sign up for these free events, visit KeystoneCoop.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Thanks, CJ. And again, if you have the opportunity to come out and see us on Tuesday in Valparaiso at the Malden facility, we would love to see you. They keep saying that it's not another field event, and it really wasn't this past Tuesday. All the speakers, the vendors, exhibitors, it really was just something different. If you're having a hard time figuring out what kind of event it might be sure to check out the video we produced. It's on our Facebook page, at Hoosier Ag Today. I'll be there emceeing the event on Tuesday. I would love to see you there. Visit KeystoneCoop.com to get registered. Let's turn our attention now to the markets and welcome in Andy Eubank. Andy, it's been an up and down week. Depends on what crop you're talking about, I guess, on which one went up and which one went down.
And Eric, to look at it in a positive light, everything was up to finish off the week on Friday. Corn, beans, and wheat. Livestock markets, too, were solid. We'll have those numbers coming up. We'll begin the market review with market analysis commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. I spoke with him in the middle of the Friday session. It has been a choppy week of trade as December corn goes back over the $4 mark. So choppy all week, Brian, and certainly USDA had a lot to do with that on Tuesday.
Thanks for having me, Andy. You certainly hit the nail on the head. It has been a choppy week, and USDA did throw the markets a curveball there on Tuesday with their crop production report, where they not only increased the yield for both corn and soybeans, but they had a big change in acreage. They found about 2 million, just under 2 million more harvested acreages of corn. Acres of corn and about 2.3, 2.4 million acres more or less of soybeans. So what we've got there, Andy, was a much larger than expected corn production estimate. 16.7 billion bushels would be a record if realized. And the corn, the soybean number was lower than expected because of the lower acreage primarily. But I guess I'd remind your listeners that we've got a unpredictable market here, a lot of volatility. I'd encourage your listeners to embrace volatility from this standpoint, Andy. Manage your market positions, be flexible, because this story is still being written for the yields for 2025 on corn and beans, especially for beans as we get through the pod fill stage here into past Labor Day, probably that first half of September. We still got a critical grain fill stage here for corn. So market volatility is going to remain with us, Andy, probably for the next few weeks, maybe beyond. So I'd encourage your listeners to remain flexible, embrace volatility, and avoid price prediction. We're hearing already some whispers this week, is that the low and made in the corn market and the bean market, and price prediction is impossible. So let's just go forward and manage your market direction rather than try and predict it.
Yeah, you mentioned the story is not complete yet, and certainly hot Midwest forecast could have something to do with that.
Yeah, it certainly does. It's not the ideal finish we'd like to see for corn. We don't want to see cooler nights during that grain fill process for corn and for soybeans too. It's not an ideal finish. There is some light at the end of the tunnel, as it were, according to the forecast. Maybe the weekend of the 23rd, 24th, it looks like it's going to cool down quite a bit from what it's going to be this weekend. But some crop impacts are being felt as you and I visit here with these high temperatures. Quantifying that's impossible, of course, but it is not ideal.
Thanks to Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, for the market commentary. Get Brian at 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, everything finishes up. September corn up 8 3/4, going to 383 3/4. December 405 1/4, an 8 cent gain. March up 8 1/2, 422 1/2. September beans 14 3/4 higher, 1022 1/4. Noviens at 1042 1/2, a gain of 14. Jan 1061 1/2, up 13 1/4. A little bit higher in wheat. September 506 1/2, up 3. Dees 527, up 2 1/2. Strong in the meat markets. October live cattle 230.65, $3.82 higher. October lean hogs $90.10, up 97. That's a wrap-up of the week in the markets. I'm Andy Eubank. Much more still to come on Hoosier Ag this week.
What will your operation look like tomorrow? At Farm Progress Show, you'll find the future of farming today. Join thousands of forward-thinking farmers discovering groundbreaking technology, expert insights, and forming relationships that drive success. Be part of the progress. Where else can you see the future of agriculture in one place? Save $10 when you register now at farmprogressshow.com with code RADIO25. Farm Progress Show, where progress meets possibility. Farmprogressshow.com.
Warm and humid air continue to dominate the landscape for your weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. Here's what's going on as we take a look at action across the Eastern Corn Belt. Starting the weekend off with an interesting disturbance trying to move across Wisconsin and take a run at Michigan. We're seeing action in the UP and northern tier counties of Michigan, but central and southern lower Michigan seeing nothing. So that leads me to point toward a fully dry Saturday in all areas of Indiana. But as moisture sags southward through Michigan overnight tonight, I think northern Indiana counties may need to watch for a few scattered showers and thunderstorms as we start off the Sunday time frame. I think it's mostly northwest and north central Indiana. We'll just have to see how this comes together. If it's heat-based, it will be very spotty, so don't count on anything, but there could be some moisture to start off Sunday. The balance of Sunday turns out dry, and since there is moisture around in the morning, look, it's going to be humid. It's going to be muggy for sure, but I don't think there's a lot of additional precipitation for Sunday. Getting into Monday, we have hit and miss of scattered showers trying to sag southward out of the Great Lakes region again. Once again, this time we're looking at mostly northern Indiana. I-70 northward is what I'm going to say. That doesn't mean we rule it out farther south. I just think it's more difficult. Then as we move through the Tuesday and Wednesday time frames, we'll slowly but surely stagger this moisture a little bit farther south. So I think the first 3 days of the week, Monday through Wednesday, we have a chance for almost 80 to 90% of the Hoosier State to see some rain, and it can run anywhere from a quarter of an inch on the low end to an inch on the top end. Now, I'll also say that most of you have been telling me you could use another rain. You're looking for that finishing rain to get the crop along the finish line. I hope this is it, but here's the thing. These are still heat-based rounds of showers and thunderstorms. This is not a cold front. This is heat-based convection, so there are going to be the haves, and there are going to be the have-nots here with regard to that rain range. There could be a lot more folks down closer to a quarter of an inch than near 1 inch, so this is just going to have to work its way out. I don't have anything for you but that at this point in time. Get to Thursday, and we're flipping the switch back the other way. Dry and sunny, a little less humid though as we move through Thursday and Friday. And then over the weekend, a little bit of an interesting thing happens. Some cooler Canadian air on the move across the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes. Cooler temperatures will try and come down and take over the eastern Corn Belt. And as that cool air comes south, it may wring out a little bit of moisture over southern Illinois, southern Indiana, northern Kentucky. I'm particularly looking at Sunday night, Monday, and then into Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. But cooler, less humid air is on the way. And that's the way we're going to be starting that last full week of August. Will it be about the same as how we started the month? Could be close, at least in northern Indiana. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and a trade deal with Japan is just one of the recent trade agreements that the Trump administration has finalized. Some ag leaders are saying that this new trade deal with Japan creates a more level playing field for U.S. trade.
I think that's really important to remember because it wasn't that long ago where we were at a severe disadvantage tariff-wise.
And that's Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. That new trade deal sets a 15% tariff rate on Japanese goods coming into the U.S. President Trump also announced that the deal will increase market access for U.S. ag products. Hallstrom says there was a sense of relief once that new trade deal was announced with Japan, which is the second largest market in the world for U.S. pork and beef exports.
2024, we saw about $1.9 billion on beef and about $1.4 billion on pork for a total of about $3.3 billion in sales. And it's been pretty consistent right in that range.
According to President Trump's executive order, Japan will purchase $8 billion in U.S. corn, soybeans, fertilizer, bioethanol, and sustainable aviation fuel. One trade deal which is still being negotiated is one with China. President Trump this past week extended the deadline for both the U.S. and China to bring about a new trade deal. In the meantime, Trump last weekend on his Truth Social platform posted, quote, "I hope China will quickly quadruple its soybean orders." Will this strong public push actually work as he and his administration work on that trade deal with China?
I'd say a strong lean toward no.
That's according to market analyst John Zanker with Risk Management Commodities.
As far as soybeans, the Chinese have zero new crop sales on. This is the lowest since 2005. So we're off to a horrible start.
So if China's not buying their soybeans from the U.S., where are they buying them?
The Chinese have bought a record amount of soybeans from Brazil in that May, June, July timeframe. So, you know, Arlen Suderman with StoneX has said that he thinks they've built up 1.6 billion bushels worth of reserves to go into the fall to put some pressure on us. So I just can't see any kind of agreement that's going to throw Brazil under the bus, given that they're a BRICS partner.
And even though Trump is urging China to quadruple their U.S. soybean sales, Zanker says the lack of Chinese buying is causing major issues for the U.S. soybean market.
The tweet said four times existing sales, or four times sales. So zero times four. You know, we've got to have some good news here, and we need it fast.
Earlier this week, President Trump extended the deadline to reach a new trade deal with China to November 10th. But as of today, China has a 10% retaliatory tariff on U.S. soybeans. Well, the farm financial outlook isn't pretty, but are farmers knocking on the same door as they were in the early 1980s? Here's Eric Pfeiffer.
Unfortunately, break-even prices for both corn and soybeans have risen about 20% since COVID. That according to Purdue Ag economist Michael Langemeyer, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture.
The corn break-even right now, even on high productivity ground, is $4.90. So it's way above where the prices are. But so are the soybeans.
Yep.
You look at the soybean break-even, it's about $11.50, $11.60 on high productivity. Mm-hmm. It can be over $12 on average to low, below average productivity ground.
Langemeyer tells us on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast that 2025 will be the worst year we've seen since the ethanol boom began in 2007. And he's getting many questions about farm financial stress.
But when you look at financial stress, there's two things you look at. Relatively low net returns. We've got that this year. I mean, net returns are going to be pretty low for corn and soybean producers. But you also look at the balance sheet. And the balance sheet right now is pretty strong. We had a lot of liquidity coming out of the very good crops in 21, 22, and not too bad a crop in 23. So the liquidity is drawing down a little bit, but it's not in a danger zone right now. But on the long side of the balance sheet, land values continue to hold steady.
So will history repeat itself, and will we see tough times like the 80s? Langemeyer says, thankfully, we're not even close to that because of the balance sheet strength.
We are heading back probably the 2014 to 2019 period. That's the period I think where we could be in that kind of situation where the returns are relatively low, but the balance sheet holds pretty strong.
Hear more from Langemeyer as he joins us on the Purdue Crop Chat podcast from Hoosier Ag Today. You can watch it on our YouTube and Facebook pages. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And new rules have been rolled out by EPA this past week that prevent sudden speed and power losses in diesel-powered trucks and farm equipment caused by diesel exhaust fluid system failures, also known as DEF.
This was one of the top issues discussed by farmers and ranchers at a roundtable I attended in Guyton, Georgia in May, and one I continue to hear about in my travels throughout the United States.
And that's Lee Zeldin, administrator of the EPA, who announced the new rules on Tuesday.
For farmers, truckers, and diesel vehicle operators, they've had to incorporate power loss and other issues caused by selective catalytic reduction systems that use DEF into their everyday life. When DEF runs out, or if a sensor fails, vehicles are programmed to automatically lose significant speed and power, leaving farmers stranded during harvest season and truckers stuck while transporting America's goods.
The EPA is now allowing manufacturers to revise the DEF system software on existing vehicles to prevent immediate severe slowdowns.
The frustration with DEF has been nearly universal. These modifications provide more flexibility and reliability without compromising air quality or emissions reductions.
Read more about the specifics of these new rules at HoosierAgToday.com. Coming up on Hoosier Ag this week, several Indiana ag leaders received some top awards this past week during the Indiana State Fair. You'll hear from those ag leaders on the way next. And speaking of the Indiana State Fair, if you haven't been yet, what are you waiting for? If you haven't swung by the Indiana Pork Tent, the Indiana Beef Tent, the Dairy Bar to grab a milkshake, you have until Sunday evening to do so, or else you'll have to wait another 11 and a half months till next year's Indiana State Fair. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. You're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
We're always dreaming about the future, whether they're the old assets that we want to convert into new, more relevant assets. For example, the grandstand is one. You know, has it run its useful life, and is it ready for a refresh? So we have a laundry list of those that can happen. We also want to continue to add to the products. Over the years, we've added the glass barn, the covered bridge, we've added the basketball court. So there's more in the queue of like, how can we showcase Indiana and what more products can we add? Let's add new things that make the customer experience a better journey through their great Indiana State Fair while keeping those time-honored traditions that we love.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. What will it take to fix the ag labor crisis? And yes, it is a crisis. Greg Allen reports from this past week's Keystone Co-op Classic.
Every year, crops worth billions are left unharvested, not because of weather or pests, but because there aren't enough workers to pick them. The problem? A severe shortage of farm labor, especially seasonal workers. According to Dwayne Simpson, the new president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, it will take President Trump going to Congress and telling them to fix it.
This isn't something that the members of Congress are going to lead on. There are some great champions in Congress that are leading here, but the reality is that the overall membership of the Congress is going to wait to make sure that they don't get hung out to dry by social media and those types of places. They want to make sure that the president is committed and driving this agenda. So it's going to take the president. The president has said all the right things. He understands this issue very well. And frankly, he has more credibility on this issue than any other person in Washington or in the states anywhere. And so, it's going to take his leadership, and we're hopeful that he's going to do it.
Experts warn that the labor crisis could lead to higher food prices and increased reliance on imported produce. Lawmakers on both sides have proposed reforms, but so far, no permanent solution is in sight. In the fields of America, time and labor are running out. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today.
Thank you, Greg, and again, welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today team. To wrap up this weekend's Hoosier Ag This Week, honorees at the Indiana State Fair. First, three women have received the Distinguished Purdue Extension Women in Agriculture Award, presented annually at the fair. Andy Eubank was there last week, and he spoke with them.
Those honored are deemed to be leaders in Indiana agriculture, and they also advocate for women in agriculture. Lisa Holscher received the Leadership Award for her contributions to Indiana's conservation industry. She is the director of the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative, and the recognition made her
unbelievably uncomfortable, unbelievably humbled. I really don't want to talk about myself because I'll just start crying. It's not me. It's all of us. I'm just so lucky, so grateful to get to work with these wonderful individuals who are just so passionate about improving soil health across Indiana and just getting conservation on the ground.
Sandy Klein from St. Joseph County received the Achievement Award for her lifetime of work on the farm and in her community. The operation at one time included hogs and cattle.
Now part of the family does cattle, and basically ours is the grain. We do soybeans and then corn, and then we raise the seed corn for Pioneer.
She is a 4-H volunteer and also drives a bus for special needs students.
My dad was a school bus driver, and I just decided one day that, you know, maybe I need to try that. And that way I'm home with the kids. You know, it kind of works for a farm family.
This year's Emerging Leader Award winner is Alexandra Merritt from Miami County, who as an intern was helping prepare for these awards a year ago.
Honestly, I am super humbled with it. To be able to be on the other side of this, accepting it, truly means the world to me. I've loved Indiana agriculture, and I've always said that I'm here to just showcase Indiana agriculture and make it the best that it can be. So the fact that I'm being honored for my work in that is truly surreal and humbling.
A Purdue senior now, Merritt has interned for the Indiana State Fair, Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and this year at Keystone Cooperative. She hopes to land a job with one of those upon graduation. And she told Hatt that family has been supportive of all her efforts so far.
So important. Can you not see them all around me right now? Yes. They truly just support me in everything I do, and they're there to pick me up when I need it the most. And I just love them so much, and I've been so blessed with the great family that I have.
The awards were presented by Angie Abbott, Interim Director of Purdue Extension and Associate Dean in the College of Agriculture. I'm Andy Eubank.
And we'll wrap up today's show by honoring Dr. Ron Lemonager, a fourth-generation beef producer and longtime Purdue faculty member, known for his commitment to family and advancing the beef cattle industry. He was inducted during the fair to the Indiana Livestock Breeders Association Hall of Fame.
I guess I'm a firm believer that if you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to be an extension educator, that you need to have some experience. I live, breathe, just like our producers do, with weather and, you know, poor quality hay and all the things, you know, disease and disease prevention. And so I think it makes me a little bit better as an extension specialist for the state of Indiana, but also as a teacher in my beef production class, which is a senior capstone class.
His students and former students all call him Dr. Ron, and many of them were in the Corteva Coliseum that evening, making it a very memorable moment as he received the honor surrounded by family and friends as well. He told Hoosier Ag today he was very humbled by the opportunity to join the group of people in that Hall of Fame. It was all built on the shoulders of giants. Also inducted into the Indiana Livestock Breeders Association Hall of Fame, Stanley Poe from Franklin and Keith Lambright from Shipshewana. Thanks for joining us this weekend on Hoosier Ag This Week. Hope you enjoyed it, and you'll tune in next weekend. Same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.